Good morning. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. I see at least one person's wearing his colors. I don't see a lot of others, so. Go Colts. Okay, there you go. Oh, Danny's got something on there. Okay, there's a couple people. Anybody want the Chiefs to win? Yeah. Anybody want the Eagles to win?
Yeah.
Anybody want them both to lose? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, it is what it is. So, got a couple things here. Eggs? No, I don't need any eggs. I don't have any eggs. It's way beyond my price range. Okay, I have here. I have an orange. That's an orange. Robert, that's an orange. You see that? This is an apple. These two things here are blueberries. And they got together one day. And they said, hey, let's make a fruit salad. This is going to be really cool. We're going to have fun. We're going to make a fruit salad. And in walks this pear. And the pear says, ooh, I'm different from these people. I mean, those two guys, they could be twins. They look alike, but I'm different from all of these people. And the orange said, well, come on. We're going to make a fruit salad. Do you want to join us? And he said, well, I'm different from you. I don't know that I can. And the apple says, but we're all fruit. And when we cut ourselves up and we all get in the same bowl, we make a beautiful fruit salad. Hey, Daniel. Right? Let's go one more. One more. Go back. Oh, no, go forward. Go forward. One more. There it is. We're going to make a beautiful fruit. So they can make a beautiful fruit salad. So the pair realized that he really did belong because he was part of this, all of this together. Now, this is, and it's like the church. This is like the church. There were all different kinds of fruit in here. There are even some nuts in here. We make a beautiful fruit salad, right? Now, what I've just told you was a parable. A parable, right? Get that? Parable. That's what that was. So, and today I want to talk about parable. Go back a couple of slides and go forward. One slide forward. Sorry, Danny, messing you around here. So, inspiration for this message, a couple of things. Some of the thoughts I'm going to share with you today are things that I've been thinking about for a long time, and some of them are fairly new things. And so I feel like God has been putting on my heart some of what I'm doing, so that I feel like the Holy Spirit really has kind of shown me some things, communicate these things, and I hope that I can communicate them well. And start looking at the Bible and seeing things in the Bible, and sometimes looking at the Bible and seeing something new. I've read that before, and oh, this looks brand new, seeing that. Our men's Bible study group, we have a group that meets on Monday nights, and these guys really challenge me and help me to see things in a little different light, and some of the things we've talked about kind of have helped me with this also. And then I was recently, I've been reading this book called The Scandal of the Kingdom by Dallas Willard, which is a great book, and I highly recommend it. And it kind of, that pulled together with some of the other things, maybe formed an outline in my mind of some things that I wanted to say to you today. Let me pray real quickly and then get into it. Father God, I pray, Lord, that this is your word for today, and that this is your message. And I pray, Father, that I can be clear when I speak it, and that it will be meaningful. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So let me get rid of this, because I know it'll be a distraction, at least to Bob, if I wear the hat. Yeah, in the trash. So today, our objectives for today I want to talk about what is a parable, why parables, and understand the parable of the growing seed, kind of talk about that in more detail. So let's go beyond the next one. Okay, we talked about the fruit salad, and that was a little parable, And a parable is, let's go to the next one there, Danny. It's a simple story. Really, a parable, some people say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And really, it's just as a simple kind of a story. You know, Jesus would say, a man had two sons, or a farmer sowed some seeds. You know, he'll just kind of start with this kind of a story. And often, his parables don't contain any religious language at all. Just tell a story about something. And the story has deeper meaning. It has other stuff in there. And because it has a deeper meaning, what Jesus really wanted was, when he taught this way, and he taught with these parables, he wanted his people to really ponder what he's saying and look into this and try to find the meaning in some of these things. And his parables all had, they had cultural relevance. The people there could really relate to what was going on in the parable. They were easily remembered, so that it would be something that, it's a story that if someone told you that, you could tell someone else. They're told in the context of ordinary life, so it's just the normal kind of things that would happen with people. They would see that, and the parable, as you turn it over and you look at it more, it's going to be more meaningful as time goes on. So that's what a parable is. So why teach in parables? In Matthew 13, we have some of the first recorded parables of Jesus, and he goes into this story. These people are there. He sits in a boat, you know, and people are kind of gathered on the shore, and he tells this parable about the soils. You know, and the man scattered the seeds, and some soil fell in the path, and the birds ate it, and some seeds fell in the stony ground. And it started to take root, but there was no place for the roots to grow, so they died. And then some seed fell on the thorny ground, which the thorns kind of choked them all out, and they died. And some fell in good soil, and then there was a big crop from those seeds. And that was it. And he told that story. There wasn't any religious thing in it. There wasn't any, you know, he didn't draw, you know, tell them what the moral of the story was. You know, he just told that. And in Matthew 13:10, his disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" I mean, they're thinking, "What? Why did he give that story? That didn't do anything." So he says, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he gave this answer, which I confess, I had a little bit of trouble at first understanding this answer. And really, recently I saw it more clearly, I think. In 13:11 through 17, he says, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So when I first read through that, and I looked at that, and for years I kind of wondered about this. It seemed kind of odd. He would say, whoever has will be given more, and whoever doesn't have, it'll be taken from them, or those seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, you know, ever seeing but not perceiving, all of that kind of stuff. I thought, well, is Jesus saying he's doing this to confuse people? That just doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like what Jesus said. But I think what Jesus was saying, I've come to believe what he's saying here is that they've heard a lot of stuff from the scriptures, from their teachers, from some of these kind of things. They've heard a lot of it over time, but they still don't get it. They still don't really see what's really happening there. And the teaching that they're getting is confusing to them. And so I think Jesus is saying, I'm using parables because I want them to be able to see. Now, for some who have the hard hearts or who already think they know everything, the parable's not going to do anything for them and they're never going to get it. But I think what he's saying, so otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears. I think the otherwise is he's trying to do the otherwise with this parable so they can see and they can hear and they can understand. And so I think the parables are there to help people bridge the gap between the old teachings and the kingdom. And the traditional way of teaching that they did, they would have like a rabbi or a master or a priest or someone who would, they'd be in the synagogue, they'd open up the scroll, they'd read from the scroll, they'd tell people what it is. And they were talking about regulations, and they talked about history, and they talked about the kind of things that they, you know, prescribing things for people to do, religious traditions, a lot of those kind of things. And Jesus did some of that. We read about Jesus opening the scroll and reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now it's been fulfilled. This prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. So we know that he did some teaching in the synagogues like that as well. But in this case, he says a farmer went out to sow his seed, or let's say there were two sons, or there's leaven in the bread, you know, those kind of things. He broke with that traditional way of teaching because he's trying to clarify this. And so he's teaching about a way of life. He's not teaching about regulations. He's using stories, not arguments. He's trying to reach into people's hearts. I mean, when we hear a story, you know, we all kind of get into that. We understand those kind of things. So he used these stories and these teachings as a way to reach into people's hearts. In parables, he says the kingdom is like a mustard seed or like leaven in bread, these kind of things, which is, it's crazy. You think about the almighty, you know, God's kingdom, the almighty God, he's got this big kingdom out there, and it's like leaven. It's like yeast in your bread, or it's like seeds, or it's like, you know, any kind of thing, maybe a fruit salad, I don't know. But so for him to say that, to describe the magnificent kingdom of God this way, is a new way of teaching, and it's a new way for people to see what's going on. So the parable then, before I get into this one, the parable is basically it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Teaching with parables was revolutionary at that time, and Jesus taught so that people could understand. So I want to look at one parable in particular today, and it's called the parable of the growing seed, or the parable of the seed growing, or the parable of the seed, whatever. And so it's in Mark 4, 26 through 29. And let me look at that. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So the kingdom of God is like a guy throwing seeds out on the ground. The kingdom of God. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Okay, so it's a real short little parable. And this parable just really hit me when I was looking at this and reading through this and thinking about that. And he's talking about, you know, the seeds and a guy scattering the seeds and that kind of stuff. So let's look at that in some detail. I got one more thing in my bag here I want to pull out. It's not fruit. This is a seed packet. Let's look at the next slide. There it is right there. Okay, this is a seed packet. And so we look at this seed packet. There's a bunch of little seeds in here. You can hear them. You can hear them. So looking at this, the seed packet, what do you notice about the seed packet? It's got flowers. See? Alaska, okay. Annual. Time to mature. The plants are mature on the picture. They're mature, that's right. But these are just seeds in here. And so this kind of tells us, that picture kind of shows you where the seeds are going to go, right? And what's happening with the seeds. So what about the seed? The seed has power. Let's go to the next one. Yeah. The seed has power to organize reality. The seeds that are in here, they're going to turn into something like this. They're going to look like that, right? So it has power, and it can organize its own reality in a specific and defined way. If I take a seed out of here and I plant it in the ground, I'm not going to get a watermelon, right? I'm not going to get an orange tree, right? I'm going to get these flowers, right? So it's specific. And the seed already is packed with all these potent substances. It has all the things that it needs to grow, you know, and when it meets with dirt and water and sunshine, presto, you're going to have beautiful flowers. Now, these are nasturtiums. This is my wife's seed packet. She loves these flowers, and they're pretty cool. You plant them, and they grow. One of the things it says on there that somebody knows is that these are annuals, right? Which means they flower once a year, you know, for time, and then they're gone. Then they die, and they're gone. But then if you don't do anything, next year they're going to come back. Those seeds are going to stay in there unless you kill them or pull them out or something. And even when you pull them out, sometimes the seeds fall in there and they come again anyway. So these are pretty cool. These are pretty cool seeds. And everything the seed needs is in there. It's all inside there, right? All of that it needs to grow is in there. And it comes in its own time. If I put the seed in this morning, I can't expect to see flowers pop up immediately. It's going to grow. It has to be watered and nurtured, and it grows. And it'll be there in time, and then it's going to be gone in its time, and then it will come back in its time. So the seed knows what its time is. It's got all of that built into it. And so as we see about the seed, it has power to organize reality. It contains everything that it needs, and it brings life in its own time. In its own time. Okay, let's look at that next slide. The Word of God is like a seed. Okay, and let me talk about that, what that means a little bit. The Word of God, the Bible, contains so much. And if you look at the Bible, it contains so much, and it's got packed with powerful ingredients that can organize your reality. And when that's planted in you, it's going to change something. It's going to grow. It's going to become, it's going to make you different. And Jesus uses the image of the seed to indicate the word of the kingdom, that it has a power and a life of its own. It's a very powerful thing. So let's talk a little bit about the Word of God and what that means for a second. So Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So we know the Word, it's living and it's active. It has a purpose. It's going to do something. It's going to help us discern good from evil. And it contains power for transformation. So it's going to change us. So the Word of God it's a very purposeful, powerful thing, okay? Also, in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, he says, but he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So the Word of God is substance. It is substance. And it offers sustenance, which means we ingest the Word of God, and it's very life-giving for us. So that's really important. So let me talk a little bit now about the Bible as the written Word of God. So let's go to the next one. The Bible is God's written Word. It's truth. The Bible is infallible. Some people call it inerrant. But it's everything in the Bible is true. It's a true thing. God's Spirit inspired the authors of the Bible. And God's hand guided the maintenance and the translations and the, you know, as the Bible has come to us over thousands of years, God has shepherded that. And, you know, we've learned more, but, you know, we had versions of the Bible. We had the Dead Sea Scrolls, which showed more of what God's word was about. So God's Spirit inspired those authors. When they wrote it, they were inspired by the Spirit of God, and he guided his people to maintain that. And the books and the letters of the Bible were written for his people, both then and now. Some people think that, oh, we're only now understanding what the Bible means when it gets, says this or says that. Well, the Bible was relevant to those people back then. They understood what the Bible meant back then too, and we understand what it means for us now. It's for us, and it was for them. It's historically part of, it's a living word, so it's going to reach all of us over that time. And so the belief that we can only understand it now because, oh, now we see what that guy is doing, and that, you know, that's maybe a good way to see some things, but the Bible was relevant then too. And this is God's gift to the world through his church. That's how we get the Bible. And the best way to understand the Bible and see its meaning and have it work in your life is just by straightforward reading the Bible. And that's what directs us towards God's kingdom. Okay? Now I want to talk a little bit about what is the gospel of the kingdom. So gospel means good news. And so what's the good news? What's the good news? Some people have said you can't understand the good news unless you understand the bad news, right? And the bad news is this, that every single person is a sinner. All of you, me, we are all sinners. We all screw up. We all do things that aren't right, you know, different times. We may try, but all of us are sinners. And God is perfect and holy. And he cannot exist alongside sin. And you see in the Bible lots of examples how he hates sin and expresses his wrath against it. So because we're sinners, we are objects, we are destined to be objects of wrath for God. No matter what you do, you can't be perfect. You can't be good enough. So the bad news is that our goose is cooked. You know, that's it. But the good news comes from like John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God sent Jesus into this world as a baby, a little tiny baby, and he grew up and became a man just like any man in here. And so he experienced life through being a human being. And he proclaimed the good news. And different from us, he led a perfect life. And he proclaimed the good news. And at some point, the world just rejected it. They rejected him. He suffered a horrible death, the worst kind of death possible. And he overcame that death. And he rose from the grave on that third day and rose to glory. And when he rose, he gave us the chance to be with him. If we believe in him, we could be with him. So the good news is that we're saved from that wrath of God. We don't have to worry about that because Jesus did that for us. Jesus did that for us. And that's great news. But that's not all of the good news. Certainly forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God, that's great. And if that's all it was, you know, just kind of a get out of jail free card, that's still good news. But the gospel of our Lord Jesus is the current availability of the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is really anywhere where God's purpose is being fulfilled. And the gospel gives us the power. So we're saved from the wrath of God, but we're saved to live for him, which means we can be transformed, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So we don't have to wait till we die and we get that resurrected body. You know, we don't have to wait till then. We can be transformed here and now. And we are being transformed. And the more you let God's word, that seed planted in you, transform you, then the more transformation you'll have. So the gospel also, the other thing it gives us is, it gives us a significant power over evil. And what I mean by that is, you know, like in Ephesians 6:10, it says, 6:10 through 20, you put on the armor of God, and it has all the things about the armor, and really talking about spiritual warfare and how we're there to fight that spiritual warfare. And we do that through the power of the gospel. And so we have power over evil, and so we can do the right thing. You don't have to do the wrong thing like everybody else is doing. You can do the right thing, and you can pray. And when how many of you have seen prayers of healing and they get answered and someone gets healed, right? We've seen that. And sometimes they don't and it takes more time, but that's okay. We still have some power. The gospel has given us some of that power. And I'm not saying name it or claim it or prosperity gospel or any of that kind of stuff, because it doesn't mean you're going to get a lot of money, friends. You know, you might still be just as poor as you always were, but you have power over evil. And so we can do this because the gospel has empowered us for this. Now let me talk just a little bit about grace, and then I'll come back to our seed thing. Grace. Grace has been described as God's unmerited favor. Now that's kind of a dry definition. Unmerited means I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn that grace. A better way is saying divine grace is God acting in our lives to accomplish what we cannot accomplish on our own. And that doesn't mean that we do nothing. I mean, God saved us, and so I don't just sit around and say, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to sit around and just wait to die so that I can go there or something. But grace doesn't mean we do nothing. If you think about the farmer that we talked about initially, he went out and he scattered the seeds. Probably he watered them, you know, I don't know. And it doesn't say that, but we actually do something. When we're growing stuff, we fertilize it so it'll grow better, those kind of things. And there's nothing wrong with effort. There's nothing wrong with you doing something. The problem comes if your effort turns into an attitude that, oh, well, I earned this, right? You didn't earn it, right? You're doing something because you're obedient, because you love God and you love his people, right? So the problem would come with attitude. You didn't earn it. God did this for you. It's his unmerited favor, but it's he accomplished something you can't accomplish on your own. Pastor Brandon wrote an article in the paper a couple weeks ago about, you know, there's a saying that says God doesn't give you anything that you can't handle. Well, that's wrong. That's false. Because if God gave if you could handle everything, then you wouldn't really need God. God gives you things you can't handle so that he will be glorified through you. Right, so that's how that works. Anyway, so that's grace. So then let's go back to talking about the seed and what's your part in that. So let's go to that next one, or not. Okay, yes. Yeah, so the man in the parable, he scattered the seed. And so your job then is to scatter the seed. That means you can read the word, speak the word, do the right thing, pray for people, love people. You can do all of those kind of things. And whenever we communicate the word of God, right, we're planting a seed. Right? When you do the right thing for somebody, you're planting that seed. And the seed does its thing. Now, we don't hear about the man digging up the seed to make sure that it's growing. Right? He doesn't do that. Does he pull the seed apart to make sure the roots are coming out or to help him a little bit? No, he doesn't do that, right? Have you ever seen a flower bud come up and you try to unwrap the flower? Yeah. What happened to that flower, Rose? It died, right? That flower died. I remember that. So that's not something that we help it along. The seed does its thing, and it does its thing in its own time. You know, he in the parable in verses 27 and 28 of Mark 4 says, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. It's all in there. We do a lot of things today in agriculture where we can engineer types of fruit and, you know, yields of things and sizes and flavors and some of those kind of things. But really, the beginning of it all and the origin of it all is the seed. And the seed's got everything it needs in there, right? And we can do some things to add to that, but the seed, the life, is what God is, what God gives. And so he says, he sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. So he, when he puts those seeds in the ground, he basically abandons the seed to the ground. He abandons the seed to the ground. He lets it do its thing because he knows it's going to do its thing. When you plant something, you're pretty sure it's going to do its thing. So then we have to have patience. When you share the word with someone, you have to have patience and have faith in the living word of God. It's not for you to make it happen. So don't feel pressure to make it happen, because we don't have to force anyone to do anything. God never forced anyone to do anything. He planted his word, the seed grew. Sometimes we feel guilty because we weren't forceful enough. God's seed does that work for us. So don't feel pressure, you have to make it happen. Our job is to witness to the word of truth. We can talk about what God did in our lives. We talk about how we've learned something from something we've read. We can do that kind of stuff. We show forth the kingdom of God in our lives so people can see that we're living like that. And in our prayers, we pray for the right thing. We pray for God to do what God needs to do. And in 1 Peter, there's a verse talking about, it says, give an account of the hope that's in you. It says, give an account of the hope that is within them with gentleness and respect. With gentleness and respect. So when you are sharing, with gentleness and respect, don't shout at someone. You know, it doesn't turn anybody on for someone to come yelling at them, you're going to hell. You know, that's not going to work, right? So you share, you give an account for the hope that's within you with gentleness and respect. And the seed is going to do its thing. Sometimes you do something, and like Rose and I recently been doing something for someone, and it seems like it's just going nowhere, and the person doesn't appreciate it, and it's thinking, ugh, why am I even bothering to do this? Why would I keep doing this? Well, you know what, the seed. Keep doing the right thing. So, some people are ready and the seed's going to grow. Other people need more time. Don't be discouraged. Be patient. Pray. And, you know, like in Jesus' parable, we'll just abandon the seed to the ground. The seed's going to do its thing. And in the fullness of time, the seed's going to harvest and sprout, as we see in the parable. Then the harvest is ready. Then we can reap the harvest. So, in conclusion, thanks, Jacob. I told them when I said in conclusion, it's time for them to come up. All right. The parables of Jesus are amazing. And read through some of those parables, and it's amazing. These are wonderful stories. And if you think about them and you turn them over in your mind, you're going to get a lot out of that. The seed is an illustration of the word and the gospel and grace. And that seed is inside of you. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And it'll change the lives of those people who receive it. So thank you for listening. Father God, thank you for this time we've had together, Lord. And I pray that your word will prevail always. And thank you for the seed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.